Nage Chögyo Nyebe Sonome Dola Pensha Sanjendo Kuraizo. Hola so majona gitada ni be singe tanji tendo tojala na me payanda ma zobe sanji ji kumbaro me kini ji tobra shago ye tobra shawe cheto tangi chero mo ji senya be kono sanji ji semji se sembe kono sembe rishu.
Let us cultivate the altruistic motivation seeking complete enlightenment for the sake of liberating infinite, kind, mother sentient beings. With that kind of bodhisattva's state of mind, we call bodhicitta, that we should all participate in this teaching. I believe that all of us are seeking complete enlightenment or Buddhahood as our ultimate spiritual goal.
That is the reason that we are doing it. 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 We Panja may give you that some of that Dini Pachati was a pound to the Sonsa, Tisonsa, Naraso, that attended David Devaki, doing it, and Sanji combatant turning it to the Ravas.
The reason I feel that all of us are seeking complete enlightenment as our ultimate spiritual goal is just because we would like to find a state where we experience everlasting peace and happiness, and where we do not have to experience any kind of pain and problem. Complete enlightened state or Buddhahood is a state where every kind of pain, problem, suffering is not there at all. Not only the suffering, but the causes of suffering are also absent, if you will, in the complete enlightened state. And this is a state where we are completely free of all kinds of deluded states of mind, negativities, as well as any form of suffering. The other side of the enlightenment is, if you will, that we have realized everything that is there to be realized. Every kind of positive quality, every kind of realization that is there to be achieved or internalized, you know, we achieve it in the complete enlightened state. So the bottom line is this, that when we reach complete enlightened state, we are completely free of the two types of mental obscuration, obscuration to liberation or nirvana, and obscuration to omniscience or omniscient state. And being free of these two types of mental obscuration, we also are endowed with all the kinds of ultimate realizations, great love, great compassion, wisdom, and so on.
Hola, tatendi ganita, tendi devido toba shebala ta, ani shewa chikta ni tendi ta kabores. Ina shewa juni, tanda ni tango zoom, tanda ngo zoom begin, tanda ni zoom de shewa, ta shewa mangul pa juni, ani digwa jaya tang. Give up to Shaguris.
So we take complete enlightened state as our ultimate spiritual destination or goal, but to be able to get there, if you will, although it is possible to become an enlightened being in one lifetime, that possibility is there. Having said that, I believe, for generally speaking, we have to think in terms of getting there over, you know, over several lifetimes or rebirths. And so, I mean, in a way we could think that, well, we start our spiritual journey in this life. So we start our practice and the path leading to enlightenment in this lifetime, and then over certain successive lifetimes that, you know, we are able to carry on our spiritual practice and development, and we are able to become completely enlightened beings. So it is in that regard, it is essential for us to find precious human rebirth, or what we call fully endowed human life and form, to be able to carry on our practice in successive lifetimes. Let's imagine that if we, you know, fall into any of the three unfortunate states of rebirth, it would be very difficult for us to be able to find you know, opportunities for spiritual practice and development. We don't have to, I believe, go that far into the hell realms of existence or the hungry ghost realms. Just think about, you know, all the, you know, the animals we have in our world system, and we see them, we interact with them. As animals, they really don't have opportunities that we do to be able to study, practice, and grow spiritually. So if we find ourselves in such predicaments, then it would rather be very hard to be able to have a consistent spiritual development. So it is in that regard, it's very important for us to understand that we need to create causes and conditions to be able to find this kind of precious human life over and again in our successive lifetimes, to be able to carry on with our spiritual journey and spiritual development. So what can prevent us from being reborn in an unfortunate state in our next life, if you ask? If there are all kinds of you know, spiritual practices that you know, we could do, beginning with the practice of taking refuge in Buddha, Dharma, and Sangha, the three jewels or three ratnas. And so what is involved in that kind of refuge practice is that we study and understand what are the precepts of refuge involved, and then we keep those precepts. So that's one of the ways, you know, through which we can prevent ourselves from being reborn in an unfortunate state in our next life. So what I just said is not something I just, you know, made it up on the spot here. As a matter of fact, Manjushri Lama Tsongkhapa, who is also known as Njel Rinpoche, has said very clearly, and Geshe-la quoted the lines from his memory, right now, if I look at myself, I do not have any confidence to say that when I leave this world, I will not be reborn in an unfortunate state. Understanding that, I should seek refuge in Buddha, Dhamma, and Sangha, you know, out of fear of being reborn in an unfortunate state, and with the faith in their abilities to, you know, to save me. So if you go further than Lama Tsongkhapa has said, as a matter of fact, our historical teacher Shakyamuni Buddha himself said it very clearly in a sutra or a discourse. And again, Geshe-la quoted the lines from his memory. Enlightened being, spiritual teaching or spirituality and spiritual community are the objects of refuge for those who are seeking liberation or nirvana. So the point I'm making here is, yes, by way of taking refuge in Buddha, Dhamma, Sangha, we are able to prevent ourselves from being reborn in an unfortunate state in our next life, maybe the life after that. But then if we do not develop the genuine confidence in our practice with regard to taking refuge, then even if, let's say, we are saved once or twice or a few lifetimes, but if we lack the confidence or the trust in the Buddha Dhamma Sangha, we will not be able to, prevent the bad rebirth altogether or completely.
That day, to a cargo is in the tongue around Samaloki, Chudungi Samaloki. And then, that later, Les Zangik, any Dribu Zangi, they do induce in the Tavate, Nagato Higuris, late Namjat Higuris.
Relatedly, meaning relating to the practice of refuge, we as Dharma practitioners or spiritual practitioners must also understand how law of karmic actions operate and function. We need to educate ourselves in the matters of karma, if you will, how positive and negative karmic actions, they lead to positive and negative consequences or outcomes.
That day rang, anyan dole, ane le majipatam chase, rang le gevata megeva karishyebe na rang majena ti debuta rang jungu mares kanunga.
In sutras, our historical teacher Shakyamuni Buddha has said, for example, that if we do not create and accumulate any positive or negative karmic action, then we will never have experience its outcome or results. So that's one of the major aspects of karma. If we do not create either positive or negative karma, then we will not experience either positive or negative outcomes.
Tal le seba chu mizawas. Rang le kar gidi le kar sabe yin ya. Ti namite rang le ngepa dun jungres chu mizawa yungres kan.
And another major aspect of karma that Buddha has talked about in sutras is, once we have created and accumulated karmic actions, both good and bad, positive and negative, they will definitely bring their outcomes. They do not simply go waste. And there's no such thing as, karma expires. There's a time expiration date on the karma. Okay, now karma expired after a long time. No, karmas that we have accumulated, good and bad, will bring their good and bad results to us. So relating to this, what we need to understand is that there is no such thing as that other people will create good and bad karmas, and then some other people will experience the outcomes of those good and bad karmas. Or for that matter, that we create both good and bad karmas, and then somebody else will experience the outcomes of our karmas. Because that is not in the law of karma.
Lege tutang, rang gidi karin sab, lege tutang, sanjiga nita, 다투 님부터 냠거리스.
Yes. You know, we have to understand that the power of our karmic actions is equal to the power of to the power of enlightened you know activities.
다티 가리에서는 배치지기니스 되나 내가 산지게 유구들라니 잡으세지 마용네 아니 해자만 보지도 세브 다티게 된다 그 산지경디 담지고 놓는 기구여다.
So let me illustrate this my statement how I said that the power of our karmic actions is equal to the power of enlightened activities. What do I mean by that? And I want to tell you a story from Buddhist literature to illustrate this point. So at one point of time, during the time of King Sakya, well, this is the Tibetan translation of Indian name, which I don't recall the Indian name at this point, I mean translator. So that time that there was a war break out, and many you know Shakya people, Shakya is a clan, got killed.
And then Kungao the Sanjigi Nyeri, Sanjay Sanjigi Nyeri Kungao, and that Shakya for Jebu Sanjigi Ma, Shakya to Sendu Kundu, until any Chirang Taki Naronas, the Kaan Pigi Kunzu Enimat Pagdo Tata.
So Ananda, who was, like an attendant to Shakyamuni Buddha, he approached Buddha and he made this request. So I have, heard that, King Sakya is, bringing war against the Shakya clans. So many Shakya clans people are getting killed. So could you please do something to stop this war?
That day, and this Sanjay Kamde Tangye Hakogu US. And then Ye Hakogu Yatina, that late number of means, Sajitani, Tashi Yamarani, and then Nature on Pigitang in his canoe.
And then Buddha said to Ananda, well, I have already known this, but now the fact of the matter is that the ripening consequences of the karmas have already manifested. So this is too late. There's nothing I or anybody can do about it. And let me give you an example to make my point. So he told Ananda, okay, let me show you an example what I meant by this. And then Buddha, by using his miraculous power, he picked up two, Shakya kids. And he brought them and put them next to him.
So that, because Seiji Ma, the Shakya to the Kangan, those say, Chani, Seiji, and the Bukuni Buddha, and then those in the Shidio.
So by the end of the war, when that whole Shakya clans were completely destroyed, and at that same time, the two Shakya kids that Buddha brought and to put them next to him, they both are found dead.
So that and they later named it that those in the Kungal that most Kungal team is the Tang Ransal team when those in that number is.
So, of course, in the Buddhist literature, it seems like Buddha was giving a teaching or a lesson to Ananda. But as a matter of fact, we should see that it is through Ananda and Buddha's interaction that, we are the ones, who are, given that lesson about the law of karma. When the karma ripens, it is too late to intercept.
Tawa Majena, and it Namita, Nepot and Jumit and the Cuban bus.
So, one of the points I made earlier is that once we have created and accumulated karmic actions, provided that these karmic actions are not interrupted or intercepted by other antidotes, then they will definitely bring their outcomes.
No. Pena, Lech Namita, that two chambers, Pena and Dino. Atisha ke ta lamare lama awa dhiti pasha, awa dhiti pasha yungduwa. Khoni, khon tang adi shan dhusin, tar dhusin ni, samba chikindan dhu, chu, samba chikindan pa pe, pe dhu chani, ane lama awa dhiti pasha, dhu shilo shi ma zin, tar adi joje yu yu dhu pe dhu, sonsa ma zin ni. Ane, ane, tar, ah, dhari sun, tindungduwa, dhikwa la karse, Lendish Namgila tap never done Zengo Restano. Lendish Namgila never Zengo, Timanzena, Anita, Zuntuta, Nuishita, Tende Yungi, Kandiki, Yina, to some of Tende, Kandi Yinata, Anni Lege Namit Lestani, Tipam Mazana, that Namit never in Yongo Restano.
So the point I'm trying to make to this explanation is that the power of karma, you know, cannot be undermined almost by anything. Once you create the karma, that unless it is like, as I said, intercepted by some other factors, antidotes, that karma will definitely bring its result. So karma is very, how should we say, senbo. The Tibetan word senbo means, literally means, it's very firm and stable in that sense. You know, it does not make any concessions, if you will. So once when the great Atisha was with one of his masters by the name of Lama Hawadhuti, and they were crossing some bridge, and then Lama Hawadhuti kind of turned back to Atisha, and then he told him that you know, the karmic actions, they definitely bring their outcomes. And it's very important to understand that. Once a karma ripens, it doesn't matter what other powers you have. You might have a miraculous power, or you might have some kind of clairvoyance. Those things don't matter, because now you cannot change that karma.
When a late namite ani gunshita junchu yunke inaya ta sa thambola nengi tende inaya late namite pa ta mena namite ngapa de ngongo kresan.
So Lama Hawadhuti said to Atisha that even if someone is on a higher spiritual levels, maybe they have miraculous power, they have clairvoyances, but if they have created karmas, if those karmas, meaning negative karmas, were not purified, then those karma, you know, will bring their outcomes or the results. And then I think in that whole literature section, the Lama Hawadhuti, talked about, once how a practitioner of Yamantava, because of, not doing the practice properly or whatever the case may be, that he ended up being reborn as a hungry ghost.
That's what it says, right? Jyoje Pandya Adhisha, Jyoje Pesanari. Really pay the tag jagale and then I think you can not jump a ticket. And Takurami late that number side Jerva. So the change and it's sunny and pearly ocean tissue. I go to my strong number 10. Jagal Paju Pearly Yan and never see Goni and it Palovres Kanando.
So this is like during the time when Atisha visited Tibet, and so that time a practitioner in India, Indian practitioner of Yamantava, for some of his previous negativity, he was reborn as a hungry ghost, and then he came to Tibet, and then Atisha, through some ritual, gave him some ritual cakes, and then asked him to go back to, to return to India, because he didn't want him to cause any troubles in Tibet.
That and dig Namia Mambuchikan and the Chesa Tundu Kangani Le Maje Padamere Sheva Chim Zawa. That Lendig Namia Linga, pardon, Narans of Cheva Sene, Sheva Seneta Lendig Namia Tanga, pardon, Tinsi Karsita Palanche with Kanando. Papango the Pang, Sulangu, gave a short to Sulang. We give it to Papang, Luce Gurus Kananga.
So the important message that we get all through all these statements made by great teachers, including Shakyamuni Buddha, is this, that if we do not create any karmic actions, positive or negative, then we will not experience their positive and negative outcomes. But on the other hand, if we have created and accumulated any positive and negative karmas, then we will experience their positive and negative outcomes. It's under the condition that those karmas, before they ripen, are not intercepted or interrupted by some other antidotal factors. So understanding these major aspects of karma, then what we really need to come to see is this, that you know, in our everyday life, that we do not engage in the negative karmas or create negative karmas, but we try to create positive karmas as much as we can. So that's how we need to apply ourselves in everyday life, you know, to abandon the things we need to abandon, negative karmas, and to adopt or cultivate the things that we should cultivate, including positive karmas.
Lam is nyintu ranje chanchi lam kandi ina ya tholam thomne tholam kadu thobi nande khola phenji chile sadu so sugu yamar.
Now here is thing to remember that whether we follow the path of Shravakas or the hearers, or whether we follow the path of Pratyeka Buddhas or solitary realizers, or whether we follow the path of Mahayana or Bodhisattva's way of life, once we actualize the path of seeing or the darshan mark, the path of seeing called Tonglam in Tibetan, from then onward we do not create any new karmas to be reborn in samsara or cyclic existence.
Ani tholam thodu sanne lendi ngon chugyo ta lendi pe kod ma je bashin ngon chugyo che cha ti zi en chan ko ta ani a me give le ta kar se stan ngu ya maten.
Now if you wonder why is that the case, once you are on the path of seeing, then you don't create any new karmas to be reborn in samsara or cyclic existence. The reason why is because of that realization, path of seeing, that we could see the law of karma function, or we can see the aspect of karma very clearly for ourselves.
And
I want to substantiate my statement, the one I just made, by quoting the words of great Indian master Acharya Vasubandhu in his Abhidhamma Kosha, or Treasury of Knowledge. And again, Gajila quoted the lines from memory, and he said, if you see the truth, there is no precipitation. What does it mean? If you see the truth meaning, once an individual sees the truth of emptiness as it is, shunyata or sunata directly, non-conceptually, from then onward, that practitioner or that person does not create any karmas that will precipitate his or her rebirth in samsara or cyclic existence.
Well, that you need my shape in, you know, cholam to jolam shita. The jolam zeba thone tang nesol shia mebre. Zeba thobne. Nesol shig yomar de na khola shig lesad sa thuyo to sagyo.
And so now when we look at the structure of the five paths, you know, we begin with the path of accumulation, choklam. Then we progress to the path of preparation called jorlam. The path of preparation has four different levels or stages, and there is a level called patience, serva, patience level of the path of preparation. Once we get there, from then onward, we are not going to be reborn in unfortunate states of rebirth. We will never be reborn in hell, in the hungry ghost world, in the animal world. Okay? That is what happens once we are on the patience level of the path of preparation. But mind it, I didn't say that you will not be reborn in samsara again. What we said is, once we are on the path of patience level of the path of preparation, we will stop being reborn in the three bad migrations, but we will be reborn in samsara. So again, I go back to the words of Vasubandhu in his Treasure of Knowledge, where he said, once you attain patience, meaning the patience level of path of preparation, you will never go again into unfortunate states of rebirth. So my reasons behind talking about these things today is that all of us in our everyday life, we should make efforts to stop doing negative karmas. And we try to do as much as positive karmas.
So that the majina when the dribni gom jigu some gom jata, so it did was sati sevenate, niasola chadum joya kele sadigu, chesa, gom jata made divasayan with the chicken of Shivina, because I had Maji Chani Aguyamaris.
So let me tell you, let's say, if we said, okay, I do meditation every day. Well, maybe in the meditation, we do positive things, but once we are out of meditation, if we don't pay attention to the bad karmas that we're creating, then we might be creating a lot of bad karmas, and which could precipitate our rebirth in a bad migration, because the time we spend in meditation is much less compared to negative things once we are not in meditation. So we really have to be very careful as spiritual practitioners, saying that, okay, I do meditation every day, as if that is enough, but it is not. And some might get this idea, okay, I'm just going to recite a lot of mantras, okay? Or I'm going to do a lot of reading of the Dharma books or scriptures, but then really don't pay attention to the law of karma. You don't pay attention to creating a lot of negativities, don't stop creating negativities, don't do positive things, but simply assuming that if I recite a lot of mantras and if I read a lot of Dharma books, then I should be okay. No. So the big point I'm trying to make here is, it doesn't matter whether, you are a monk or nun or lay person, but we all need to pay attention to the karmas that we create. We need to educate ourselves about the law of karma, and we need to apply the law of karma in our everyday lives. So that those principles apply equally to all practitioners, all people, whether we are lay practitioner or whether you are a monk or a nun, it does not matter.
Now
sometimes, we might find ourselves indulging in this kind of thought. Well, I really don't create, much of negativities. I haven't killed anybody, and I don't plan to kill anyone. And I have never, stolen things for anybody. And I have never indulged in, sexual misconduct. And then I have not indulged in any of the four negative vidhis of the speech and the three negative vidhis of the mind. So one might assume that I don't think I really do a lot of negative vidhis anyway. I just look at these things. I have not done this. But if you're really not careful in our way of thinking and practice, we may end up doing a lot of negativities unknowingly. That it's just that, when we think like, okay, I don't think I'm doing a lot of negativities, but, how should I say, it's so to speak like, that our radar of mindfulness awareness has not picked it, and we could be doing, a lot of negativities, unknowingly.
So that is one that when a wrong any dikpe le ka de sa yong yu mi te kyuji me lon ta go res kan.
Great masters have got this to tell us, how we are doing in terms of following the law of karma. We should look in the mirror of dharma. So by looking into dharma as our mirror, then we should be able to see the reflections of our own actions. How many positive, are we doing positive actions or are we doing negative actions? So we should be able to see the reflections of our karmic actions in the mirror of dharma. Now, when we need to check with our face, whether we need to wash our face, we need to do touch-ups or whatever, then we have to look in the mirror. That's the only way we see our own face. So the mirror is a good tool to look at our face and say, okay, where do I need to, clean up, or do I need to wash my face, or do I need to touch up, or whatever. In the same way, we need to use the Buddha's teaching on Dharma as a mirror, and then let our own actions reflect in this mirror, and then find out, okay, are we letting any delusions pop up in our mind? Are we letting ourselves, engage in the negative karmic actions? So the way we could use this mirror of Dharma is that, of course, first we need to educate ourselves in the matters of Dharma. We learn about the law of karmas. We learn about, delusions, the things we need to get rid of. And then once we learn about all the Dharma principles, now we use those principles and check our own state of mind and actions against those Dharma principles and find out, okay, are we doing anything that really contradicts the Dharma principles? If we are, that means we are creating negativities. Maybe we are generating delusions. But if we find ourselves following the principles of Dharma, then that means we are on the right track and we are, engaged in positive actions.
Oh, yeah. That teaches you the Maranso Ling Hema Shang Musaya late on the top. And the Shaman del Pal Ling Hema Saya the Tang Mayana, and is the Gong Chi Huina and Drag, Jumtuki the Jumtuin Kina and Drag and Zuni, that Shaval and Saka ending is so much Mavichikan on the West thing about Haku was in the
Hebrews. A very important message that we should keep in our mind is that, we have to purify ourselves of so many negative actions that we have accumulated in our past lives. And we have to learn to stop creating negativities in this life. If we don't do those things, it doesn't matter. We might have some other, mystic qualities. We have some kind of a miraculous power. We have some kind of extrasensory power, And those things really are not going to save us. We could be considered as a great meditator by everybody else, but we still haven't purified our bad karmas from the past life. We haven't stopped creating negativities now. So in that sense, the outcome is whether we are called great meditator or clairvoyant or a miraculous person, whatever the heck, but we are going to be reborn in the bad migrations. So this is my focus or the emphasis before going back to the text today, that all of us must, you know, educate ourselves about the matters of karma, and then we need to really pay attention to, you know, law of karma in our everyday life. Now we will return to our wonderful text called A Miscellaneous Collection of Gautama Geshe's Advices. Just to recapitulate what we talked about last week is this, as great Adisha was telling his main disciples, if someone thinks that, okay, I want both the worldly matters and the spiritual matters to go smoothly together, I just want to have both go, you know, side by side, then he said, in that case, what you should realize is that you have made the Dharma secondary, a side thing. And then I also explained to you that we have to be practical and realistic, because, you know, all of you have to work to earn your living, you know, that's how we need to survive and function in the society and in the world. So you need to go to work, you need to go to school, and all the other activities which are considered worldly, you need to do. But as practitioners, what we really need to do is, when it comes to the matters of worldly activities and Dharma, in our mind at least, we should recognize that Dharma is more important than worldly stuff and worldly activities. So out of spiritual Dharma motivation, we can go to and do the worldly things, but they will, they become, those worldly activities will have different significance and different meaning.
No, no. That the Yumadilla, David Nas, and the Sons, Tho Chaparjin, a tense thing with Rekanam, Tho Chaparjin Karazana, Kurt and Yetinjinani, Kurt's old drunken, Kurt's old zinke, not that the little taught the little thing with Rekanam, that's
it. So therefore, Adisha continues, you should rely on special friends. Now, what does it mean, special friends? What he means is that, so therefore, we need to rely upon those friends who consider Dharma more important than worldly matters and who are engaging in the Dharma activities more. So we have to rely upon those special friends. And then Adisha says that do not be in the company of bad friends. What do you mean by bad friends? Meaning those, you know, who encourage us or who influence us to do negative things. Not only that they themselves do negative things, but they somehow mislead us, influence us to do negative things. So those friends are called negative friends. We should avoid them. So for example, somebody just doesn't feel a thing for the animals, and so go and just kill animals. So if so, we should not really become a great friend of such people.
So
So the point here is that, you know, those who indulge in all kinds of negativities, you know, lying and cheating and deceiving and killing and stealing and, you know, engaging in sexual misconduct and so on and so forth, so we must not put ourselves in their company. If we do that, what happens is, then their negativities, so to speak, smear onto us, and now we get influenced. So we find ourselves indulging in negativities. And I really don't think I need to give a lot of examples here, because you know this stuff in many ways already very well. Like, you know, somebody who has never touched alcohol now goes with the friends and who are all drinkers, and then slowly now the habit got passed on to you, and now you have become, not only you drink a lot, now you become alcoholic, and then you have now the drinking problem that you couldn't stop it. All that, I should say, so I mean, the matters like that, that's what we're talking about.
That's because you think you get a nervous thing, you know, then you could read that, and so don't put in the relationship, but
so anyway. People who do not really care about hurting others, and they just go and do those stuff, so we must not befriend them.
Unless that did you do it. Ning him to this. But this is a young says, Pogor is gone. Ning him is never married. There's a kill my devil, ning him is dirt. That is a gang of mine. You just run some bats of the Congo years. You know, and Razu died, I just want to kill number of a drunk is not a garage.
And then the next Satisha says, you know, just don't, you know, get stuck in one place. Just move around. Ning him. Now this seems like, you know, just keep on moving from place to place. Well, you know, for families and people like lay people, it's tough, you know, when you have families, everything to move all the time. But it's more for really genuine Dharma practitioners, especially monks and nuns, you know. So just, you know, don't get attached and stuck in one place. Well, but I do not mean to exclude the lay practitioners. There could be some lay practitioners who have renounced everything. So, well, they could follow the same principle that don't get stuck in one location or place, but move around. So why, Adisha would advise you, like, don't get stuck in one location, just move around. What's the point of saying that? What he really means is that once we stay in one place and make that as our permanent address, so to speak, then many other problems kick up. Because now we think of, you know, accumulating more resources and wealth, you know, you've got to stay. This is my permanent address. We built up relationships with all kind of people. Now we are mixed, you know, in the company of friends and people, and then all those things, you know, distract our practice. Now we get attached to one permanent address.
Rang chawa, lunga chawa, luta ngata, each chawa, karishabina, and a chuta tuni, and a chawa chevres canon.
And then he goes on to say that whatever we do, we should check it with Dharma. You know, what does the Dharma tell us? You know, is this something we should do or we should not do? So we have to check our actions with Dharma.
Shonzan, that things in Arans of same song education with each other, Dandy.
So in this regard, it is very important for all of us to guard our state of mind, protect our mind.
So that
So in order to check our actions, you know, against Dharma or with Dharma, we have to first educate ourselves about Dharma. We have to understand what Dharma is and what Dharma teaches us. So if we don't have knowledge of Dharma, then how can we check with the Dharma whether our actions are right or wrong? So it's like, you know, somebody who wants to be engineer but has no clue about his or her field of study, engineering, then what can you do when you said, okay, now I'm going to, you know, work as an engineer, what does it mean, you know? So even if one doesn't know much about Dharma or one doesn't have an extensive knowledge of Dharma understanding, but if at least one keeps this in mind that, okay, I don't want to use my body, speech and mind to hurt other sentient beings. I'm not going to think badly about others, negative things. I'm not going to say negative things to others. I'm not going to do negative physical things to others. Then at least, you know, one keeps one's actions aligned with Dharma principles. And next, Atisha says that whatever you do, you know, see that your action becomes an antidote to delusions. So what really, you do, meaning that whatever actions we do, whatever practice we do, we should see that our actions and practice are geared towards
to decreasing, to destroy delusions.
The important thing is that when any kind of delusion pops up in our mind, whether it's attachment, anger, hatred, whatever, we need to find an antidote to counteract them. And that is the key thing here. Let's say, attachment arises in our mind, then a specific antidote to attachment is to reflect upon or meditate on repulsiveness. Repulsive nature of body and things. Or if hatred or anger arises in a mind, a specific antidote to that is to cultivate patience. You know. So the point here is when a delusion arises in a mind, we have to also activate an antidote to counteract it. Specific antidote to ignorance is, of course, in a general sense, is education about Dharma. When we educate ourselves well in Dharma, then when we understand and gain more knowledge about Dharma, it is to that extent we remove. Layers, if you will, of ignorance from within our mind. Of course, the ultimate antidote to ignorance is to realize the selflessness or emptiness. So much emphasis is put on Dharma education. Of course, it is couched in a traditional term called listening to teaching. And I mean, many of you already know, right in the beginning of the Lamrim text, or the text called Treatises on the Graded Path to Enlightenment, there's so much being said about the benefits of listening to teaching. For example, it says that listening to teaching is metaphorically speaking like lightening the wisdom. You know, it's just like generating the light of wisdom to dispel the darkness of ignorance.
Hola, tak atichen dukanen do. Peter Shenas, Peter Shenas. Peter Shena. Ya ta bi che yimpe. Tela tsombre chiskana. Peter Shenas ya ta tangis nyoma kibet do resta.
And then the great Adisha Goswami said that if you do those things, meaning the things he just explained ahead, then you are really practicing genuine Dharma, and so you can exert yourself, you can enthusiastically engage yourself in such Dharma actions and practice. So I think just that if you do those things, or just the way I explained, meaning that Adisha explained several things, rely upon special friends, do not put yourself in the company of negative friends, do not get stuck in one location or a place, move around, do not stay in one place and then accumulate all kinds of material stuff. Whatever you do, check it, you know, with or against Dharma principles. Whatever you do, see that it becomes an antidote to your delusions. So if you do those things, meaning, then you are really doing the Dharma, you know, properly. So basically, Adisha is kind of telling us, advising us, and encouraging us at the same time that if you should do our practice that way, and if we do in the way he just explained, then we are really engaging in the pure Dharma, spirituality, and we can certainly generate more enthusiasm to engage in those actions.
Oh, yeah. That's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying. Jealousy. Jealousy. Kasi. Jala siya te kasi, jala rangi jula yuntin shenas, kasi rangi jula ni yuntin chabajin shiaba yinas, ngajay chi malam chis, ngajay chi jiyamaris kanamar.
And then Adisha goes on to tell us that if we generate any quality or any knowledge for that matter in our mind, we must not become arrogant.
That and the carrier is in a Najachi, Malum case. But the thing is that do you want to draw grace? That is the do you want to draw in Yakachambu's Kanam?
No, we should not become arrogant if we generate any new knowledge or quality. Why? Because if we do that, then we, you know, let ourselves being influenced by what we call a demon. Arrogance is a very negative, you know, state of mind, delusion, in that once we become arrogant or whatever little things we know, then we, you know, stop learning from other people, and we become jealous of others who know more than us, you know, so we just feel, okay, who cares about whatever they know, or that even if there's really opportunities to learn things from others, we are not going to learn because of, you know, this puffed up state of mind called arrogance.
ngaje kyaj gombalas nya kyaj gombalas eta yenden ji samshes ngaje daran je kyaj sagi gi no cha rang ji te kyaj kyaj sagi no yi ta kyaj gi no cha ta ti kan te yenden sa sing mares kan
Great, you know, masters have got this to say, and they said that, you know, metaphorically, they put it that if you are arrogant, then you are like this, the iron ball of arrogance on which nothing grows. So meaning that we want to generate and cultivate good qualities and knowledge in our mind, but if we become arrogant, our state of mind metaphorically becomes like an iron surface. So now we want to cultivate some knowledge, the plants of the, you know, knowledge plants and qualities in our mind because nothing grows on the iron surface.
Voilà, ta rangi le yendi chabra ji se na ane ta ngaje me ba she ne kar she gu se na wenti ne 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 sta wenti ne 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 ta ne ta ne zong ra ta ti ji ane tong le tong ta chi na ge ta tin bi ne 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 da ni ra ane she wa ta to che che gu sta na
He said, like, you know, once we learn about Dharma, we generate good qualities, so do not become arrogant. But instead, what we should do is we should find our solitude. And so being in the solitude, we should try to achieve peace and subdue ourselves, or tame ourselves. So he said, you know, you should tame yourself or subdue yourself. The Tibetan term is called dulwaji, means tame yourself, meaning that we need to tame our mind because our mind is disrupted by delusions. So we need to, discipline our mind so that delusions do not control our mind. So in that way, we can tame our deluded state of mind. And then Great Arisha goes on to say that we should have fewer desires or wants and we should cultivate sense of contentment. Now this is important because, instead of becoming like contented with what we have, let's say we engage in the sensual objects and then we will never feel enough of what we have. And so if we have one thing, we want more of the same thing or the better of the same, stuff. And so there's no end to our desires or wants. So it's important for us to feel contented with what we have. So literally, dabachama means, small desire. And so the opposite of that would be the great desire. The great desire meaning that people who have great desire, so they basically want everything in the world to themselves. And the small desire means that you just don't seek too many things. You just, few things that you have is enough,
I see. Tak muda cik mas muda ni mas sum kata, tadi kal entere. Cendol tak tentu ke mandi pasi tak tengah ni kangbang ina tak hari susu, ane tronche ina tak hari troko ina tronche ina kari. Kebun itu sih ni sih itu pasti. Tapi so tadi amar tadi ran lepe negu aris.
So if you look at our own lives in the society, people know what we're talking about. You have one house. you know, you're not, that's not enough. You want two houses. Now you want a bigger house. Then you want, you know, $1 million house. Now you want $1 billion house. Now you want a house in many different locations. You want one car. That's not enough. On another car. Well, that's not enough. You want a better car. Well, that's not enough. There has to be another style car. And then, you know, all these things, it's just, there's no end. And the same thing with the relationship. You know, one girlfriend, not enough. Need two girlfriends, not enough. There's another three, you know, and just keep on changing and, you know, so there's no end to that. That's what we're talking about. That drives, you know, ourselves nuts and crazy.
No, no, that's it. And if that thing you did this on the way, huh? Round the UNT and the Maka so much, huh? Round the UNT and the Tajia Maris, round the UNT, because it's shaving in there, till it's so tain, it's done, and you are San Peter, and you must also, Najiche, Tajin, Tando, etc. Round the UNT and Matas, because in the Shego Guris.
And then great Adisha goes on to say that, you know, do not focus on your own qualities or knowledge. Of course, I mean, he doesn't mean that don't appreciate your own knowledge or qualities. What he means, don't be too much self-focused. Then we started to become arrogant and, you know, and we started to have attitudes. As if I know so much, I know everything.
That rang you in the matter, tangle, rang you in the matters, yet sure matsolstan.
So don't be self focused on your knowledge and qualities, and don't find fault in others.
Come to the day that you are married, Tom be in there, I tell you anything, P, Ulepe, Susu, any precarious over there. And you must see after Julia Chagaduna, P. Jason Bangman.
So don't find fault in others. That does not necessarily mean that we become very nosy and just go and start to find, dig out others' faults. It just could be that, you know, we are not trying to find faults in others, but we started to see faults in others. And then we follow our perception of that. That in that way we generate, you know, delusions. So don't do that. So if we see faults in others and we try to find faults in others, what happens is then we stop respecting others, we stop appreciating others' good qualities.
Well, that is it. And it's not. Nigba ta patsawa mepreshis, nigba mepatang patsawa mepreshis deguris kanawa. Nigba mepreshis dendila. Nigba mepreshis pena rang, kachwe naba tapuji dru shevi yana, ta karayina ta Nasional sih ada tadi kita jika saya betul, orang ke ini pe kerja kereta, jenala ini tak mana banyak sana ini orang tak sih sih ini jenala mana orang ni apa macam itu ni jika orang ni apa saya betul ini jika saya betul sih jika saya betul pasal saya betul, tanda saya betul.
And next, Great Arisha says, you know, be fearless and don't be anxious or nervous. So what he's really talking about is if we apply ourselves in Dharma properly, then we really don't have to fear about the outcomes of negativities. We don't have to fear about being reborn in unfortunate state of rebirth. Because we are not hurting others. We really don't have to worry or be anxious too much. Are others going to, you know, do something to me? When we do a lot of negativities, we hurt others a lot, then we started to experience more fright or fear and anxiety.
You go and make a tampata, make a cheese on the sunny pay, and so the same abortion they pay true to me, did you have a cheese, but the punk could be up a savvy and not the chakras gone.
So if we really apply ourselves properly in abandoning negative karmas and doing the positive things, then we really could be more relaxed person because we don't have, you know, much to fear about and we don't have reason to be anxious.
Oh, yeah, that thing used in a day. Number of top of machine. Nanto mampu si jaman, nanto si entah, sehingga mungkin kita mampu train ni, tapi si unik tu ni apa? Kamu kira orang lah, tapi jaman jaman mampu train, tapi si jaman nanto mampu si jaman kan?
And next, great Adisha says, don't have too many preconceptions. You know, that's important. Like, you know, within a minute, you know, we generate like 100 different conceptional thoughts. So don't do that.
So here the Namto,
as we translate as preconceptions, this should be more understood in terms of like deluded conceptions and disturbing thoughts. We don't mean that, you know, one must not think about Dharma, one must not reflect on the positive attitudes. Well, in that way, one could be generating a lot of thoughts, but those are positive thoughts we need to generate. What we mean is don't generate, don't make our mind busy of deluded thoughts. And be kind to others.
So
how can we be kind to others? When we cultivate love for others, we cultivate compassion for others. So through such positive attitudes that we are able to be kind to
others.
As I often remind you that when we cultivate love and compassion or other similar attitudes, we need to cultivate them unbiasedly, meaning towards and for everybody. We should not find ourselves in a situation where we love only people who are close to us. We have compassion for only people who are close to us. In that case, what has happened is our attitudes have become biased already. So it's a biased love and biased compassion. So here Vinatisha says, be kind to others. Of course, it really means in a very positive sense. It doesn't mean that, okay, be kind to others out of attachment. You know, be kind to others out of grasping. But that doesn't become kindness, actually. That's not called being kind. So when we really cultivate love and compassion, that includes, you know, those who we usually see as our enemies. You know, we really try to cultivate love for them. We try to cultivate compassion for them. So those really attitudes are unconditional and are unbiased.
From spiritual
point of view, if you cultivate love and compassion out of attachment or any delusion, then our love and compassion just like we prepare a nice course of food, but it has some poison in it. So it is like a delicious food, but it's got poison. If we really genuinely cultivate love and compassion for other sentient beings, they are just extremely powerful and beneficial states of mind. Great Adesha, whenever he met others, he always tell them, you know, be kind to others.
No.
I think maybe in the American, you know, how one of the ways we, you know, tell people is, hey, take care. Well, that is Adisha. Adisha could be saying the same thing, but what he means is, you know, take care, meaning be kind, you know, develop kindness, you know, to others.
Take care, Sungguyamare.
So he's not saying the take care in ordinary sense that we are saying, you know, take care, you know, of yourself. So I think Great Adesha has many great pieces of advice for all of us here today, and I think that's where we're going to stop today.
Munishivina,
And honestly speaking, if you just only focus on these pieces of advice Adesha gave us today, just this morning we talked about, I mean, we could spend whole life focused on this and doing the things Adesha advised us to do. So if we follow the advices of Adesha and try to implement them, then in everything is included, you know, that we don't do negativities, we do positive things, and all the things we do bring us closer to complete enlightenment. We have some prayer requests for two people who have passed away, and they are Helen Nelson, Milton Crow. So these are the people's names we got and who have passed away. And there are two people who are very sick, and they are Sonia Gutierrez and Marsha of Aspen, Colorado. So prayers have been requested from all of them. And then we have an announcement that this coming Wednesday evening, there is not going to be teaching because we have some other event going to the Tibetan meeting. So there is no teaching of Geshe-la on coming Wednesday.
Well,
and then also another request, sorry, I forgot, that after the teaching, please, you know, postpone your visit to Geshe-la. As you can see, he's coughing, so he needs some rest. So let's, say some prayers for those whose names we have been informed. And of course, there are many more. We don't know their names, but we think about all of them, and we pray that may their good karmas be activated, and may they be able to find good rebirths, and then find their spirituality.
Mm-hmm.
Let us dedicate our collective merit accumulated from this morning's teaching to the flourishing of Dharma, the source of benefits and happiness throughout the universe. We dedicate our merit for the long life of His Holiness the Dalai Lama and other holy masters wherever they are in any part of the universe. May they live long and be successful in fulfilling their visions, benefiting sentient beings. May spiritual communities throughout the world and spiritual practitioners from all traditions, monastics and lay practitioners, remain healthy, harmonious, and be successful in fulfilling their spiritual goals. May this and other world environments be free of all kinds of unwanted pains and problems, and may beings find peace, happiness, prosperity, and spirituality. In short, by the power of our merit earned this morning, participating in the teaching, may all kind mother sentient beings to be free from the fears and dangers of two types of mental obscuration, and may we all reach complete enlightened state soon.
Thank you, Agusa.
No, thank you.
Salawat.
Salawat.
Salawat.